Okay, good morning, everybody. Shavua Tov. Welcome to our weekly virtual Beis Medrash Shir. It is post Shabbos Nachmu. Hope everyone had an easy fast, a meaningful fast, and an uplifting Shabbos. We are going to continue our theme that we have been discussing in the summer series, learning from insights and lessons from the teachings of Rav Soloveitchik. As I mentioned, every week I'm trying to do a different Sefer, insights from a different Sefer with you. So today we will be focusing on the topic of Tefillah specifically, something that affects our lives every single day of the year and every single day of our lives, which is the topic of Tefillah, which is so integral to the life of a Jew. Furthermore, once we finish with Tisha B'Av, we're really moving ahead towards Elul. And by the time we come to Elul and Tishrei, there's so much focus on daily Tefillah, U'Teshuva, U'Tefillah, U'Tzedaka, Ma'avirin, Esroa HaGezeira. So I thought it was a very appropriate topic and something relevant for us to discuss and learn from today. So I'm going to begin to screen share with you. The first thing we are going to look at is an excerpt from yesterday's parsha. So yesterday we read Parshas Va'aschanan. Parshas Va'aschanan is always read Shabbos Nachmu. Devarim is always read Erev Tisha B'Av, and Parshas Va'aschanan is always read Shabbos Nachmu. And the parsha begins as follows. You could look on my screen and see it here. It begins in Parak Gimel, Pasuk Chof Gimel of the book of Devarim. Va'aschanan al Hashem ba'esahi lemor. I implored, I entreated, I davened, I begged, I beseeched the Ribbono Shel Olam for matnas chinam, for a free gift, Moshe Rabbeinu said, for mercy at that time. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu want? Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why does Moshe want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Does he want to go to tour the land? Does he want to see the blue water of Rosh Hanikra? Does he want to eat chalva on the shuk? Does he want to see the sunset on the Mediterranean Sea? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu want to go into Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara tells us in Sota, Yud Dalet Amar Alf, Mipnei Manit Ava Moshe Rabbeinu, Likonis La'aretz. Why does Moshe want to go into Eretz Yisrael? V'chila Echo Mipiria Hu Vitzarich, V'chila Yisbo Mituva Hu Tzarich. Does Moshe want to go because he wants to eat the fruit? Because he wants to be satiated from the goodness of the land? No. The Gemara says, Amar Moshe, harbe mitzvos nitztavu Yisrael. Israel's been commanded so many mitzvos, ve'enem iskain min ela ba'aretz. They're only able to be upheld in the land, such as Yovel, Shatzah, Shemitah, not in that order, such as Orla, Tevel, Ola L'Regel, all the mitzvos of Tudas Ba'aretz, Meiser, Truma, Bikurim. So the Gemara tells us that Moshe wants to go into Eretz Yisrael because he wants to do the mitzvos. So how does he pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Va'aschanan al Hashem ba'isi limar, and this is the first pasuk in yesterday's parsha. I implored, I entreated, I davened to God at that time. And then Moshe, instead of saying his tefillah, he says, Hashem Elokim, God Elokim, atah hachilos el ha'aruses avdecha. You've begun to show your servant, eskedocha, your greatness, v'esyadcha hachazaka, your strong hand. Asher mi el b'shamayim v'aretz, there's no power like you in the heaven and the earth. Asher yaseh k'maasechu, can do like your deeds, like your wonders. And now Moshe, so first Moshe praises the Ribbono Shel Olam, and now Moshe asks for his request. Ebrana, please let me cross over from the Shoresh Ever. The Era Esa Eretz HaTova, let me see the good land. Asher Be'Ever HaYarden, that's on the other side of the Jordan River. Hahar HaTova Zed, this good mountain. Rashi says that's Yerushalayim. V'Halavonan, Rashi says Moshe's not asking to see the Lebanon, he's asking to see the Beis HaMikdash because it whitens the sins of Israel. And then so Moshe introduces his tefillah, then he praises the Ribbono Shel Olam in Parak Gimel, Pasuk of Dalet, then he puts in his request, which is to cross into the other side of the Yarden River, in Pasuk Chaf Hei, and Moshe tells us what happens, and God became angry at me because of you, he did not listen to me, he said, enough, Ravlach, stop it, don't talk about this anymore, Al Tosef Daber Elai Od B'Davar Hazeh, God says, don't talk to me anymore about this matter. However, what does Hashem say, Pasuk of Zayin, Alei Rosh HaPiska, go up to the top of the peak, V'sa'in, and lift your eyes, Yama to the west, Safona to the north, Teimana to the south, Mizracha to the east, Ure'eh ve'inecha, you may see the land with your eyes, Kilo Savar Sayardin Azeh, but you will not cross this Jordan River, command Yehoshua, strengthen him, gird him, he will cross before the people. So the Rashi points out on the Chumash, Moshe said, Ve'era es ha'aretz ha'tova, let me see the good land, and two psikim later, Hashem says to him, V'sa'einecha, Ure'eh ve'einecha, lift up your eyes and you will see the land. So Moshe asked to see the land and Hashem allowed him to see the land. So we have this idea here of tefillah. I just want to see, does someone say something? I'm talking very fast today. I didn't realize. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, Rosalind Bramson has been learning with me for a very long time. And I appreciate and take your comments very seriously. You should know that you're in good company, because about 5 to 10, my mother, She Should Live and Be Well, told me not to talk too fast because it's too hard to understand. So you are in very good company. And I didn't realize I was talking so fast. I'm sorry. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. In the beginning of our parasha, he prays to God to allow him to go into the good land. First he says, I implored, I entreated, I davened Hashem at that time. Then he says, praise of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then he utters his tefillah in 325. In 326, we are told God became angry at Moshe and said, stop talking to me about this. In 327, Hashem said, go up and you could see the land, but you will not cross over there. We were actually looking at the Pesukim together. So I want to show you what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, in Maseches Brachos, Lamed Beis, Amen Beis, Darash Rabbi Simle, it's on my screen for you. I'm going to read it and translate. La'olam yisadar adam shivcho shamakom v'achar kach yispalel. A person should always arrange the praise of God, should always utter praise of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and after he should daven. Milanan, where do we learn this from? Min nalan, where do we learn this from? Moshe. We learn this principle from Moshe Rabbeinu. Like the Pasuk says, v'aschanan el Hashem ba'esehi, this was yesterday's parasha, I implored, I entreated God at that time, ukasiv. And Moshe says, Hashem Elokim, atah hachilosela, how is this avdecha? You have begun to show your servant, your greatness, your strong hand. There is no power like you in the heaven and the earth who can do like your deeds and like your great acts. So the Gemara says that this is proof that before we ask for more, we must praise God. Ukasiv basre, and right after it says, e'erbrana ve'era esa aratzotova. So I showed you the psukim on the screen share in Perak Gimel, Pasukhav Gimel. Moshe says, I daven at that time. Chavdalid is praise of God. You have done such amazing things, Hashem. There's no power like you. Pasuk Chav Hey is the tefillah. So we see there's a structure to Moshe's prayer. First, he praises God. La'ola misad adam shivcho shal hakolish baruch hu. Va'achar kach yit palel. First, he praises God. And then he asks for his request. And this is actually the structure of our tefillah. This is how we daven every day in the Shmona Esrei, in the Amidah. First, we have brachos of Shavach to Hashem, and only then do we move into with Atachonein la'adam da'as, chaneinu mi'itcha chachma bin vadas. Only then do we move into bakashos. First, we praise, then we ask. And finally, we end the Shmona Esrei with the chapter of Hodah, which is giving thanks. And this is how a person should always pray. First we praise, then we ask for more. And it's helpful to think of our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam in the relationship of Basar Vadam with human beings. You could imagine that a person, a parent, a benefactor who always does so much for somebody else, and the person wants more and more, never stops to say thank you, and never stops to appreciate what they have, and only says, give me, give me, give me. So the benefactor comes to the point where, why should I give you anything if you don't even appreciate what I've given you in the first place? It's very, very important for us. We learn from Moshe Rabbeinu that first we praise the Ribbono Shel Olam, and only then do we ask for more. There was another comment. I'm trying to slow down in my speech. So you're all spot on. These are all the things that my mother tells me. Okay? My mother says, cut back on the material a little bit, Michal. You'll be able to talk a little slower, but I really want to get it all in. And it's already 10:08. Okay. So everyone's making me smile this morning. So the Gemara tells us, based on the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu in yesterday's parsha, that first we praise Hashem, and then we pray to Hashem. Furthermore, I thought this was interesting. The Gemara continues into Maseches in Brachos also, Lamed Beis, Amad Beis. So the Gemara goes to the next Amad. Interesting piece of Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Gedola tefila yoser mi maisim tovim. Tefila is greater than good deeds. Gedola tefila yoser mi maisim tovim. How do we know that? That tefila, prayer, is greater than doing good deeds. She'enecha gadol b'maisim tovim yoser mi Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't have anyone who is greater in doing good deeds than Moshe Rabbeinu. Look how much he did for the people. He was totally selfless. The epitome of being a gomel chesed and doing maisim tovim is self-sacrifice for the benefit of somebody else. Moshe sacrificed everything for the benefit of the people. He had benefit of the people. Yesterday's parsha. Shuvu lachem lo'olechem va'ata po amod imadi. Perek Dalet, I believe, in the book of Devarim, after Matan Torah, or Perek Hey, or Dalet or Hey, Hashem told Moshe that people can go back to their marriages, but after Matan Torah, Moshe could not be married anymore. You, Moshe, are totally dedicated to me. He sacrificed his marriage for the sake of the people in the Ribono Shel Olam. He sacrificed being a father to his children, which are all much more in-depth topics that we don't have time for today. He sacrificed his ability to go into Eretz Yisrael for the sake of the people. You don't have anyone greater in Ma'isim Tovim than Gemilas Chesed, the Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, Gedol Tefillah, Yoser mi Ma'isim Tovim. Tefillah is even greater than good deeds. How do you know that? Says the Gemara. You don't have anyone greater in Ma'isim Tovim than Moshe Rabbeinu. And Afal Pikein, nevertheless, Lo Na'ana Ela B'Tefillah. He was not answered in the benefit of his Ma'isim Tovim. He was only answered because of the benefit of his prayer. Shene Amar, like the pasuk says, Al Tosif Daber Eli. Don't speak to me anymore, said God. However, Usmechla Ale Rosh HaPiska. Go up to the peak. So the Gemara looks at the juxtaposition of these two psukim, 3:26. In Devarim Gimel Pasuk Chavav with Gimel Chav Zayin, Hashem says Moshe's davening, and Hashem says Al Tosef Daber Elai Or B'Davar Zeh. Stop talking to me about this matter. However, you can go up to the peak and see the land. You asked to see the land in verse 25, Ara es Aratzotova. So because of your tefillah, Moshe, I will allow you to see the land. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu had so many good deeds, he was only answered, the Gemara says, in the merit of his tefillah, which teaches you how much power there is in the power of prayer. And we need to appreciate this. Why do we need to appreciate this? Because this is something that we engage in every single day of our lives. You have little children who learn from their parents, who sometimes see them picking up a sitter and go like this, I'm moving their mouths even though they don't really know what they're saying. You have children who try to utter brachos. Tefillah is one of the foundations. Prayer is one of the foundations and institutions of our lives as a Jew in some fashion or another. Whether it's from the depths of our heart or from the pages of the prayer book, we are constantly in dialogue with the Almighty. And the Gemara says that tefillah is even greater than good deeds, because you have no one who did more good deeds than Moshe Rabbeinu, than Moses, our greatest leader. And nevertheless, he was answered not in the merit of his good deeds, but in the merit of his prayer. So these are two teachings that we learn from the beginning of our parsha, the chapter of the week that we read yesterday. I implored God, you're so great, God, let me go into the land. First lesson of the Gemara, you must always arrange praise and then pray. Imagine always saying, could I have more, could I have more, could I have more, to a benefactor, to a parent, to a teacher, to a leader, without ever stopping and saying, thanks so much for what I have. What you have done is amazing for me. The benefactor wants to stop giving if there is no expression of appreciation. If one is an ingrate and never stops to notice what they have. My breath. Thank you, Hashem, that I could breathe. My eyes. Thank you, Hashem, that I could see. Thank you, Hashem, that I could swallow and eat. Thank you, Hashem, that I could bend over. Thank you, Hashem, that I have clothing on my body. Malbish Arumim. Zokev Kefufim. I can stand up straight. Pokeach Ivrim. I could see. I come and I demand more. I focus on what I lack instead of what I have. Rosh Hashem doesn't want to give more like that. So Moshe teaches us, first you praise, focus on the Hoda'ah, the Shavach, and then you ask. Furthermore, the Gemara teaches you that tefillah is even greater than good deeds. But the Tosfos clarifies on the Gemara, and Tosfos says, you could see it on my screen, Gedola tefillah yoser mi ma'isim tovim. What does that exactly mean? Tefillah is greater. Prayer is greater than good deeds. Tefillah is greater than good deeds below tefillah. Tefillah is only greater than good deeds if your good deeds come without prayer. Shaharei Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom Afal Pisha Hayu Biyadav Ma'isim Tovim Hu Tzrach L'Tefillah. We learned it from Moses, our greatest rabbi, blessed be he, that even though he had so many Ma'isim Tovim, he needed the advantage of prayer. So it's not that we're putting up Tefillah against Ma'isim Tovim. We're talking about Tefillah compared to Ma'isim Tovim without Tefillah, or Tefillah compared to Ma'isim Tovim with Tefillah. Gedol Tefillah Yoser Mi Ma'isim Tovim below Tefillah. Prayer is greater than good deeds that do not have prayer. So ultimately, a Jew needs to incorporate both. We need to be people who do good deeds and acts of loving kindness to one another. And we also need to be people who rely on the power of prayer and who understand that the Ribono Shel Olam gives us everything we have. So how could we not praise before we pray? I'm going to share with you a humorous vignette that I just read. I mentioned this actually in a shiur the other week with Noah Weinberg. I'm reading this book. I'm enjoying it so much. By Yonasan Rosenblum. It's new. My husband gifted it to me for my birthday. And I'm enjoying it very, very much. So I just want to share one humorous vignette here, and then we're going to go to the piece of the Rav that I want to analyze today. Okay? So Rav Noach Weinberg was the founder of Eish HaTorah. Even if the young Noach was not a tzaddikal, a righteous person, he showed a capacity for straight thinking and honest self-criticism from an early age. New York City hosted a World Fair in 1939 when Noach was 9 years old. He and his friends made a plan to skip school and tour the fairgrounds instead. The only problem was that Noach needed $1 for his admission. He could have earned a dollar by memorizing a chapter of Mishnah, but there was not enough time for that. Rav Noach picked up the story himself in a class on prayer, so he would tell this over. When he taught about tefillah, he would tell the story over about himself. It happened when he was 9 years old, and he needed $1 in 1939 to skip school and tour the World Fair. So, quote, "I figured I might as well go to school that day. I would be the only one there, a hero. I started walking to school, when suddenly it occurred to me, keep your eyes on the pavement, Noach. Maybe you'll find a dollar. I started looking. One block, no dollar. 2 blocks, no dollar. I started to pray. Hashem, a dollar bill. You have them lying on the street sometimes, just this one time. Let me find a dollar bill. 2 more blocks, still no dollar. I thought maybe God wants something from me, so I started to make all kinds of promises. Hashem, I'll take out the garbage, and I won't fight with my sister. No dollar. I up the ante. Hashem, if you give me a dollar, I'll learn a chapter of Mishnah, and I won't take the dollar from my father. You can trust me. It's a loan. Okay, God? No dollar. Finally, I rounded the corner, and school was in sight. It was time to pull out all the stops. Hashem, give me $1, and I'll never do anything wrong for the rest of my life. And then I calmed myself, and I said, Noah, who are you kidding? If you find a dollar, you're going to play hooky. So tefillah has a very interesting capacity by which we see the power to answer our prayers, to change the gezeira, teshuva tefillah tzedakah ma'avir nesroha gezeira. Prayer, repentance, charity can erase the evil decree, and it is foundation that is integral to our lives as believing, practicing Ovdei Hashem as Jews. And with that, let us go to the piece of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik says, and this is the fifth class in the series, this is from Koren Sidur Masoret HaRav. Koren Sidur Masoret HaRav, the Koren Sidur with commentary of Rav Soloveitchik. We have not yet quoted from this Sefer in this series. In the Amida, in the Shemona Esrei, says Rav Soloveitchik, man approaches God. Man pleads with him. Man engages God in dialogue. Human beings have many deficiencies. We have wants. We have aspirations. We lack things. We have deficiencies. We have wants. There are things we want and need. We have aspirations. We have hopes and dreams. And as a result, man knocks on the gate of heaven. I'm here. I need something. I want something. And we present ourselves before the Ribbono Shel Olam, before God, and we ask that he listen to our requests. God has singled out man by giving him the right to approach him in this way. Man is unique because we can approach God in prayer. The hyena, the cheetah, the snail, the firefly, they go by instinct. They are programmed, pre-programmed to work a certain way. There is no aspect of prayer or tefillah aside from human beings in terms of creation of the world. Yet the very institution of prayer, says Rav, and he asks such a powerful question, is enigmatic. How can man possibly knock on God's door, as it were? What gives me the right? Mortal, finite, limited man. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Tefillah of Moshe, Yishe Elokim, brought down into Kapitel Tzadi of Tefillim. How long does a man live, says Moshe Rabbeinu? 70 years? V'in bigvua shmonim shana? And with great strength, 80 years? V'rahab am'ama v'aven? And the majority of his life is by the sweat of his brow and hard work. I'm here for a short time, like the Gemara says, Kan po mechar b'kever. Man is here today and God tomorrow. God is chai le'olam le'ome olamim. God is before time, present time, future time. What gives me, mortal man, finite man, weak man, with my deficiencies, my wants, the right to approach God? It's a tackle, good question. Do you ever wonder every day when you pick up your sitter, when you recite that capital of Tehillim, as you're waiting for test results, as you're looking for a parking spot, as you're rushed for time, as your child goes out on a date, I'm praying to God. He doesn't know what I need. He doesn't know what I want. What gives me the right to approach a Ribbono Shel Olam and tell him what I need, I want, I think, I feel, I have, I demand? Who is man to appear before the universal king, says our Salvechuk, and list his petty, insignificant needs? Would we dare act this way before a king of flesh and blood, demand that I know better than you? We cannot proceed to understand the enigma, the mystery of prayer, unless we address this paradox. There's a paradox in prayer. On the one hand, three times a day we daven. The patriarchs were misaking the prayers. Maseches Brachos Chavav. Avram was misaking Shachris. Yitzchak was misaking Bincha. And Yaakov was misaking Tfilas Arvis. And we have an institution of prayer, but it's a paradox. What gives me the right to pray? Surely the Almighty knows what I need, knows what you need. The first paragraph of the Amida confronts this daunting challenge. So Salvechuk says the answer to the mystery of how mortal man can pray is the first paragraph of the Amida, the Shemona Esrei. When Chazal and the Gemara refer to tefillah, what they are in essence referring to is the Amida prayer, the Shemona Esrei. So if you look at the first paragraph of the Amida, which I have on my screen for you, it doesn't follow the typical structure of prayer. We say every day in the Shemona Esrei, blessed are you, Hashem, the God, our God, and the God of our forefathers, the God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. Sorry. God who is great, who is big, who is great, who is mighty, who is awesome, the one most high, who does good deeds, who bestows kindness, I should say, who is the owner of all, who remembers the kindness to the patriarchs, who brings redemption to the sons of their sons in order for his name with love. He is the king. He is the helper. He is the savior. He is the shield. Blessed are you, God, the shield of Abraham. So this is the text of the opening bracha, Berkas Avos, of the Shemona Esrei, where we say that Hashem is our God and the God of our forefathers. He is the God of the patriarchs. He is awesome. He is mighty. He is benevolent. He is our helper, our shield, our savior. Blessed are you, God, the shield of Abraham. And Rav Salvechuk says that this first paragraph of the Amida confronts the daunting challenge of answering how man can pray. But there is another obstacle in our path at the very outset of our endeavor, says Rav Salvechuk. On our own, it's impossible for man to comprehend his needs and formulate them in a lucid prayer. Do we really know everything we need? That means we think we know what we need. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is all-encompassing, who is the Mekomo Shel Olam, knows exactly what we need. Man's mouth is inarticulate. His tongue falters. You know, sometimes you have an important meeting or an important phone call. And you leave and you said, oh, I should have said this, I should have said that. And you forget what you want to say. So imagine, kaviyacha, when we're standing before the Ribbono Shel Olam, lahavdil, between that and a meeting with a baser v'dan. We require, says Rav Salvechuk, divine assistance, not only for sustenance, but we require divine assistance to recognize my deficiency and to arrange my words. I can't even pray without God. Never mind asking for what I want. I can't even pray without Hashem helping me arrange my words. Without the faculty, the mental ability to arrange my words, I wouldn't be able to pray at all. Man is dependent on God not only to fulfill his needs, but to recognize my needs, to express my needs. I'm dependent on God. Before I even say what I need to recognize what I need, arrange my words in such a way, and I need God for that. And therefore, the Amida opens with Hashem Sifasai Tiftach. I'm Tehillim Nun Aleph, God, open my lips. We cannot even contemplate prayer unless we seek God's assistance in formulating our entreaty. So I can't even daven without Hashem. That's the first principle. Why do we begin with this pasuk from Tehillim? Hashem, open my lips. Because if Hashem would not open my lips, I wouldn't be able to pray at all. Forget what I need. I wouldn't be able to formulate prayer. We are abject. We are wretched. We are miserable. But beseeching God's assistance in articulating our thoughts and words is not sufficient. There has to be protocol. There's a way to pray. There's a way to speak to a world leader. Lahavdil, there's a way to speak to God. Mortal man, who is puny and insignificant, has to ask permission before engaging in dialogue with the infinite. Think of the paradox. Think of the bizarreness of mortal man, who is here today and tomorrow in the grave, standing before the Melech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King of all kings, the Almighty, blessed be He, and asking for His needs. And therefore we need a license, we need a matir, we need something to give us permission to pray. This critical element in the drama of prayer is provided by the first paragraph of the Amida. The first paragraph of the Shemona Esrei does not mention our petty needs. It does not mention our mundane concerns. It's a blessing of God. All it is, not all it is. It's an acknowledgement of God's grandeur. an introduction which serves as the matir. It allows us to pray. It's a humble request for license which allows us to proceed to the gates of prayer. So the first paragraph has nothing to do with what I need, I want, I think, I feel, I have, I am, I cry, I'm sad, I say please, I say give me, I said more and more and more. No. The first paragraph is about the awesomeness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that is the matir. That is what gives me permission to approach the Almighty. Who am I? Nothing. To approach God, the all omnipotent, all powerful, almighty being. The formulation of the bracha and the beginning of the Amida. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu. Blessed are you, our God. The God of our forefathers is unique. The typical introductory statement in the bracha does not refer to our forefathers. Melech HaOlam. Usually, when you make a shahakol, you say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, shahakol Nehiyah B'dvarav. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Minei Mizonos. The typical structure of bracha begins with, Blessed are you, God, Melech HaOlam, the King of the Universe. But in the Amida prayer, we do not begin with this typical structure. Instead, we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu, something which we see nowhere else. In formulating a bracha, instead of saying Melech HaOlam, we begin with the God of ours and the God of our forefathers. How can temporal, flesh and blood man purport to approach the eternal and infinite King of the universe for fulfillment of his personal needs? When I come to the Amida, unlike a shahakol where I'm praising God, everything has been created by his word. Here I'm asking for things that I need. Invoking the universal King in the beginning of the Amida, we negate our ability to approach God in prayer. I cannot say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Baruch Aleinu, Hashiva Shofteinu, Vishlaim Ircha, Rifa'enu. Instead of Melech HaOlam, the King of the world, we say, Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu. You are our God and the God of our forefathers. If we are able to engage in prayer at all, it is only because our forefathers established the precedent of prayer. Like I quoted before in Gemara Brachos, Chaf Vav Amud Beis. We are only allowed to daven because the forefathers prayed to God. Without that precedent, without that template, without that matir, I would not even have permission to knock on the Ribbono Shel Olam's door. Could you imagine the Jane Doe in Province 52 going to Shushan Abira and saying, Achashverosh, listen to what I need? Who are you? Why are you here? Relying on the precedent of our forefathers is essential. But more than that, the Gemara, which is how we started Shir, teaches you have to glorify God prior to making requests. A lesson we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, and we analyzed those psukim in the beginning of the Shir. But how can lowly man praise infinite God? Any description in our vocabulary to praise the Almighty is inadequate. So here too, we have precedent for Moshe Rabbeinu. We say, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibar Vehenorah, the great, mighty, awesome God. Our praise takes this form because that's what Moshe himself praised God. In Sefer Devarim Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Moshe said about Hashem, He is the Kel, Hagadah, Hagibur, Vehanura. And so Moshe gives us the precedent to praise the Almighty with those words. So again, if you look at the Siddur, Rav Salvechik is first asking us, how can mortal man pray to Almighty God? It's a paradox. How can I purport to tell God what I need, want, feel, demand? I can't. So I begin with Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, a pasuk from Tehillim, because I need a matir. I need Hashem tell me even open my lips, or I wouldn't even know what to say. And then I praise God with a very unique formula. I say, You are our God and the God of our forefathers. I recall the merit of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Only because they prayed to you, Brachos Chafav Amen Beis, can I pray to you. And then the next words are Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibur, Vahanara. That's an exact phrase taken from Chumash, Devarim, Perek Yud, Yud Zayin, of what Moshe Rabbeinu said. You are God. You are great. You are mighty. You are awesome. That's the second degree of matir. So our daily Shemona Esrei relies on the precedent set by our forefathers, Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu, and the words uttered by Moshe Rabbeinu when he prayed. By the end of the first paragraph of the Amida, we are armed. What are we armed with? The precedent of the patriarch's prayer, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and the precedent of Moshe's praise, Only then can the Jew summon the courage to address God as king. So the Rav says, after you invoke the precedent set by the patriarchs, that Abram established the morning prayer, Yitzhak established the afternoon prayer, Yaakov established the evening prayer, and only after you praise God using the very words that Moshe Rabbeinu himself used, then you can declare God as Melech. Now that we are armed with the tools that allow us, that are matir us to pray, we can come before Hashem and say Hashem is Melech. The appellation king was omitted from the initial part of the bracha. We do not begin with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, like we do with all other brachos. But now at the end we say he is the Melech Ozer Moshiach Megein, the king, the helper, the savior, the shield. This describes God not as distant, not as unapproachable, but he is a king who is close and concerned. He is a king who has the desire to help us and grant us salvation. What gives us the right to pray? That the forefathers prayed. What gives us the right to praise? That Moshe praised. And only after we invoke the merit of the three patriarchs, the Avos, and we invoke the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu, can we proceed with our request, crown the Almighty Melech, proceed to praise, then pray, and then ultimately give thanks for all that we have. As we move from Av into Elul, Yamalei Hashem, Kol Mishal Sabeinu the Tova, Amen v'Amen. I thank you all for learning with me. I wish you a week of Besoros Tovos. Thank you all very, very much.